Where is the faithfulness of our God? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me." Oh, I like that. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter, boat, and Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All the storms of life. Anybody ever been in a storm in your life? Every one of us goes through storms time and again. Hallelujah. What do you do in a storm? Well, Peter was in a storm here. We're going to look to the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister life from that. Amen. Peter was in the storm, and the disciples were in the storm because they obeyed the Lord. See, Jonah got into problems in the sea because he disobeyed the Lord. He got into a ship running away from the will of God, and so he got into a storm, and he was on the point of dying and feeling miserable about it. But the disciples here and Peter got into a storm because they said, "We will obey the Lord." So sometimes storm comes even when you obey the Lord. Well, storms might come even if you don't obey the Lord. So as well much obey the Lord and be in a storm. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember Joseph in the Bible in the Old Testament? Well, he had a problem. If we gave into that sin with Potiphar's wife, and he had a problem if he did not. Are you with me? But as well get into a problem by obeying the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The storms of life, Peter and the boat and Jesus, you see three times in the Gospels. The first time Jesus came into the boat to Peter was in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Now there you find was during the day. It was light. There was light. It was not dark. There was no storm. Everything was calm. The sea was calm. The boat was calm. Everything was comfortable. And Jesus got into the boat with Peter. Well, the second time is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 onwards, where the disciples and Jesus and Peter, all of them are traveling on the boat. And Jesus is there in the boat. And the storm comes. And it is night. But the problem is that Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples begin to panic. They know the Lord is there, but they're not waking him up. Until they get really scared, when they shake the Lord and say, "Lord, get up." That's the second time. But in the third time, when the storm came, Jesus is not in the boat. It was night, and just the disciples alone. You hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a saying, I was looking to the Lord and saying, "Lord, what do you want this message to be termed as? Do you want me to call it Jesus, Peter, and the boat? Or the storms of life?" Or even a word which I believe would be appropriate for this message if the Spirit of God will begin to reveal the truth to us. It is a simple fact which says, a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. And you can call this an adventure of faith. A faith that cannot be tested or is not tested cannot be trusted. Are you with me? If you say you have faith, that will be tested. And if it is genuine, it will stand. Hallelujah. How many of you have genuine faith here today? You can only call it genuine if you have gone through the test and come out clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Now here you find, let's read that word. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look at that word, you'll find a couple of things that is very interesting. One, Jesus did not go to them when the boat was near the shore. Are you with me? And the storm also did not come when the boat was near the shore. If the boat was near the shore and the storm had come, they wouldn't have looked to the Lord for help. Sometimes your faith is tested because you are beyond the means of all human help. Your pastor can't reach to you. One of your praying brothers or sisters cannot reach to you. You cannot get to that TBN channel to want and see if Benny Hinn will pray for you. You're not sure. I mean, it looks like you're a little far away from all kinds of possible human help. Are you with me? I don't know how many of you have prayed ever in your life saying, "Lord, increase my faith." If you do, God will make sure that you are in a situation where you will really need to increase your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And you might not understand that until and unless the Holy Spirit of God begins to illuminate your mind. Suddenly you look at a problem that you're facing in life and it's beyond any human help. You are not near the shore. If there was no humans to help you, you could have swam across the shore. Are you with me? Some people do that in the walk with God. They start out on faith and they don't go much into the deeper waters. They stay somewhere near the shore. And if this faith doesn't work, they can always get back to where they were before. So we call for people for a separation. And say, "Separate yourself from all that you have been leaning on all these years. and step out with Jesus. And he said, no, I want to stay close to the shore. If this doesn't work, if the Joshua generation doesn't work, if this church program does not work, if this does not happen, we can always lean back and get back there. Let me tell you, you will never grow in Christ. Are you with me? Because you're very much missing the point. Amen. The Lord makes sure that you are not near the shore where you can reach by safely back to the shore. That's the first thing that you understand from that scripture. That's a testing of faith. Are you with me? Faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. Second thing, look at this, amazing. My Bible says that Jesus walked on the water. The very thing that was carrying them was that water. And Jesus used that as a stairway to reach to them. Come on, church. There are some waters you're looking at and you're getting scared by seeing the waters and that storm. But let me tell you, there is just a stairway for the Lord to meet with you. The very thing that makes you the thing that will cut you away from God might be the very thing that God uses to reach right into you and bless your life. The very thing that they were getting scared by. That is the very thing which the Lord used to reach out to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. He reached down to them right in that area of their struggle. Amen. Anybody sitting here this afternoon saying, there is something in my life I think will cut me away from God. That might be the very thing which God uses to get you more closer to Him. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. My Bible says here, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. I always wondered why they did that. And in other words, it is amazing. You know why that happened? Why did they not recognize Him? It is because they were not expecting Him. Come on, hear me well. You can get into a storm, and that wind that is blowing against your life might be contrary to the direction that you want to take. And that storm could be really heavy. And in the beginning you might have struggled. You might have tried a lot of things. But then there comes a point of time where suddenly you think, no, I don't think the Lord will ever reach out to me in this situation. He might bless somebody else, but I don't think He will reach out to me and help me. You might have been a point in your time, life right now, where you might have given up every hope of finding an answer to the situation that you are in. But let me tell you, Jesus will make His way across to you. Are you willing to believe Him today? They were expecting Him. They had struggled in that sea for such a long time. Nearly for 3 watches they had struggled in the sea. And they gave up all hope. There's nothing like a believer who says, I've been struggling too long. And then you give in to that struggle. And you say, no, I have given up every hope. There are believers who quit publicly. And there are believers who have quit silently in their hearts. You might be here today, but you might not be expecting the Lord to show up in your life. Because in your heart, you have given up every hope. Outside, maybe no. But God sees your heart and He knows inside of you, you have given up every hope. And so what happens is even prayer and worship, everything looks even more scary. And if the man of God should come and say, Jesus making His way across to you, that's even more scary. How many of you understand what I'm saying today? Amen. Hallelujah. It is not by the outside you've given up. I don't think believers ever give up hope outside. Have you seen that? But God looks right into your heart and says, boom, 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 boom. Inside, I've struggled too much. I've confessed scriptures, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done this, that, I've tried everything, and nothing has happened. I don't think I can ever come out of this situation, and you grew up inside. But let me tell you, it might be at a point like that where you least expect Him, my Jesus might stretch out His hand and touch you right now. You hear that? How many understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah! That struggle so much. They were not expecting Him. So they didn't have the waiting of faith. Are you with me? They didn't wait in faith. Hear that? Are you waiting in faith today? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now it is amazing here. Please allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me. I like that word. Ecclesiastes 8 and the 4th verse is the king's command contains power. Command. He said, Lord, I know my situation is terrible. I'm in a storm. But give me a command. Are you with me? Command me. And so He said, come. Peter had come out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, anybody here listening? When he saw the wind was boisterous or terrible, the storm was terrible. In other words, he had taken his eyes off himself. Off the Lord, pardon me. Are you with me? Amen. It is the most scary thing to take the eyes of the Lord when you are in a storm. When you are not in land, some people are not in the traditional church, neither are they here, somewhere in between. And if you take your eyes off the Lord, it's even more terrible. You understand what I'm saying? See, Peter had this habit of always taking his eyes off. When you look at the scriptures, you always find that. Are you with me? He was always not focused. In Gospel of Luke chapter 5, when Jesus came in his boat the first time, and when he saw the catch and the miracle that the Lord did through that boat and through him, he took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at himself and said, I'm a sinful man. I'm too sinful. In other words, I'm too weak. In the Gospel of John chapter 20, after the resurrection of Jesus, coming to Peter and John, the Lord is speaking with Peter and saying, Peter, this is how you will glorify me. And spoke about how Peter would die and glorify the Lord. And immediately he took his eyes off the Lord and turning around he said, what about him? Pointing to John. You hear that? It's called the distractions of faith. Hear me well. The distractions of faith. It's called the... There is no way to grow in faith if you're going to continuously look to yourself and at your weakness. And in the times you are not looking at yourself and your weakness, if you're going to look to other people and what has God got for them, if you're going to look to others at all the time, those are distractions. After some time you will begin to look at the circumstances of life. That's what happened to Peter on the walk, on the water in Matthew 14. He looked to the wind. Three things that distract you from growing in faith amidst the testings. One, always being preoccupied with yourself. Two, looking to somebody else. Three, the circumstance or situations in life, the storm. I was looking the other day, and somebody came and said, I'm too scared to follow up with Jesus. I don't know what my family will say. I like to join up with believers who worship the Lord and spread it in truth, but I don't know what my family will say. Can you imagine somebody saying that? Can you imagine that? They're looking to someone that's keeping them tied from walking with God. Can you imagine getting to heaven? What will you stand before the Lord and say to Him? My mother-in-law said to me, don't. What will you say? There are many people, I believe, who have been tied down by people from walking with Jesus by faith. Are you with me? You've been tied down by people and situations and circumstances. I pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord will loosen that bond out of you now. Somebody come in and say, I'm scared to follow Jesus because I don't think the folks at home will understand. My neighbors will understand. Oh, my brother, my sister, you know what you say? Jesus is not that important. What others say are more important than Jesus. How can you expect to grow in faith and reach the potential for which God has called you if you will not take the step to come out when the Lord says, come? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The distractions are fake. A faith that cannot or is not tested cannot be trusted. Are you with me? Look to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 22. Let's stay there a little bit and look to that. Genesis 22. And verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. You remember that? Are you listening? Now it came to pass after these things, but God tested. He's a man of faith. And God is testing him. Are you with me? After these things, the Lord tested Abraham. I like that. So the Lord told Abraham, get out of the country that you are in. Get out of the family that you are in. Get out of that circle that you are in. Come out. I'm calling you. And God called Abraham, and you know that, don't you? And what happened to Abraham? Abraham stepped out of the country, but didn't step out of his relationships. There was a test in those relationships. The first test that Abraham faced in his walk of faith was with relationships. When God called Abraham, and God called him alone, my Bible says in Isaiah 51, speaking of Abraham, my Bible says in Isaiah 51, God called Abraham alone. But who came along with him? If you study scripture very clearly, his father, Terah. His father, Terah, and his little nephew, Lot. You hear that? Terah, that word means delay. The one who causes delay. That's what Terah means. The one who causes delay. And Terah came with him till Haran. Are you with me? But did not enter the promised land. Pagudi Veli vanu. Haran means Pagudi Veli. Came till the place called Haran and said, we stop here. Idil kodilla annu maraya enna mone.
നമ്മളെ താതാപയൊക്കെ വിട്ട് ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് അത്ര ദൂരോട്ടൊന്നും പോകണ്ട. വിശ്വസിക്കാനൊക്കെ കൊള്ളാം, പക്ഷെ സ്നാനപ്പെടുമൊന്നും വേണ്ട. പകുതി വഴി വന്നങ്ങ് നിന്നു. തേര ഡിലേ. തേര മീൻസ് ഡിലേ. തേര ഇസ് ദ ഓൾഡ് മാൻ. യു ഓൾഡ് മാൻ വിൽ ഓൾവേസ് കീപ് യു ഫ്രം ദ പ്രോമിസ് ലാൻഡ്. ഐ വിത്ത് മീ. പകുതി വഴിയൊക്കെ ഉണ്ട് നിർത്തും. അവിടെ നിർത്തും. അങ്ങോട്ട് പിന്നെ വിടിയത് സൂക്ഷിച്ചോ. There is a first test. A test of relationships. Well, let's look to it in Acts 7 chapter, the 7th chapter. Now, Genesis 12, even in a, I believe this second service, and most of you are believers, so you're interested in scripture going a little deep. Now, look to Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, or Abraham, had said, not said, had said. When did the Lord say to Abraham? Look to Acts 7. Acts 7, when Stephen is preaching that marvelous sermon, he's saying, the second verse, men and brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Before he settled in Haran. Genesis 12 is the second command. Are you with me? God said one, God said twice. The Lord had said before that the God of glory had appeared to Abraham in Mesopotamia, the place of witchcraft and idol worship and sensuality. The God of glory appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, get up! Then I said, listen, I'll come with you. Brother, I'm going to go to the point. I'm going to go to the point. അങ്ങ് വിടുന്നില്ല. കെട്ടിവെച്ചിരിക്കുന്ന കെട്ടിൽ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തെ അറിയട്ടെ. ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, കം ഓൺ ചർച്ച്. എ ടെസ്റ്റിംഗ് എ ഫെയ്ത്ത് ദാറ്റ് കാനോട്ട് ബി ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ടെസ്റ്റഡ് കാനോട്ട് ബി ട്രസ്റ്റഡ്. Are you with me? The second test that happened to Abraham before God called him a man of faith. See, let me tell you something here. Never forget this. The important thing is not what we live in, but what we are looking for. നീ ഇപ്പം എന്തായെന്നുള്ളത് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ എന്തിൽ ഇരിക്കുന്നു എന്നുള്ളതല്ല വിഷയം. എന്താ നീ മുന്നോട്ട് നോക്കുന്നുള്ളത്? Abraham by faith looked to the city whose foundation and architect was the Lord himself, Hebrews 11 says. Not the circumstances of situation that he was in. അവൻ ആയിരിക്കുന്ന അവസ്ഥ നോക്കിയത്. He was looking forward to something. What are you looking forward to? If you're not looking forward to something, there's a problem. Your faith will never grow. You will never grow in faith. Are you with me? കുറച്ചു ദിവസമൊക്കെ സുഖമായിട്ട് ജീവിച്ച് പിന്നെ വെള്ളം മരിച്ച വെള്ളം പിടിച്ചിട്ടാ മതി. എന്റെ ഇടയ്ക്ക് കുറച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥന അന്യഭാഷയൊക്കെ വല്ലപ്പോഴൊക്കെ പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കാൻ നടന്നാ മതി എന്നുള്ളതാണെങ്കിൽ പിന്നെ വേറെ ഒരു കഥ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കുമ്പോൾ നോക്കി വിഷമിച്ചാൽ കിട്ടും. Are you with me? The first testing of Abraham was in relationships. Amen. The second one for Abraham was in the book of Genesis chapter 13 concerning blessings. There was also a test. Lot, who came along with him, also grew rich by being with Abraham. After some time, said, The herdsmen of both the Lot and Abraham were fighting. Genesis 13. Are you with me? Well, they were fighting. Abraham was not possessive. Take it. That is my advice to any pastors also here. If somebody wants a long question, take it. നിങ്ങൾ അഭിഷേകം ഇനി എവിടെ പോയാലും കർത്താവ് ബാക്കിയില്ലെന്ന് ചെയ്തോളൂ. ഐ വിത്ത് മീ? ഇല്ലെങ്കിൽ എന്ത് ചെയ്താലും കാര്യമില്ലതാണ്. വിത്ത് ബ്ലെസ്സിംഗ്സ്. Somebody came to me and said, you know, Lot came and said, this is mine, I want it. You take the first choice, what you want, the land also. Lot had no promise. It was a promise given to Abraham. You take it. Do you have that kind of attitude? That's an attitude of faith. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. That was also a faith test. Amen. Now let's get to Genesis 22 and then I just get back to my text. God led us in between there. Genesis 22 again. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This is amazing. Would you keep one finger there in that and open to Genesis 17 and look at verse 18? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Yes? Yes? Now here it says something interesting. It says, he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. How many sons did Abraham have? Well, up to that time he had two. Then it came to later, through Keturah. Up to that time he had two. One was a child of the flesh. Another was a child of the promise or of the spirit. Are you with me? See, the work that you do in the flesh, God does not even count. As far as God was concerned, only Isaac was there. Only one son. Come on, how many of you are understanding what I'm saying? As far as God was concerned, there's only one son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God said, offer him. Oh, I love that. See, faith that cannot be, or that is not tested, cannot be trusted. Are you with me? It is on this mountain that God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, to Abraham. But that came after the sacrifice, after the obedience. Revelation always comes after obedience. Are you with me? Amen. Revelation kittiya anusarikkan parayum katha parayum anusarichu revelation varum. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, the Jehovah Jireh is manifested after the obedience, after the sacrifice. Once a preacher said, There is fire of God at the altar. Far from truth. The fire of God never comes on the altar. Comes on the sacrifice. Only the man of God or the people who are ministering are yielded sacrificial vessels there for God, will the fire show up there. Just because you stand in the frame, the anointing will not come upon you. Hear that? The anointing of fire does not come at the altar. It comes on the sacrifice. Well, revelation came at the sacrifice. Are you with me? Amen. Let's get back to Matthew 14. We close with this. When he saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. You know, it's very amazing. You know, I've written down here. The actual translation of that word, doubt, in verse 31, Jesus asking, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? You know, that word doubt means standing uncertainly at two ways. What does it say? Standing uncertainly at two. In the beginning, there was only one way for Peter. കർത്താവ് കമാൻഡ് ചെയ്ത് വരാൻ ഇറങ്ങി നടന്നു. നടന്ന് പകുതി വഴി വന്നപ്പോ തന്നെ സഡൻലി ടു വേസസ് അപ്പിയറൻസ്. അവിടെ മുങ്ങി. ആർ യു വിത്ത് മീ? ഹല്ലേലൂയ. അവിടെ പ്രശ്നമായി. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. സം പീപ്പിൾ വണ്ട് ടു വേസ്. Hallelujah. Look at it. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. എപ്പോഴാ കരഞ്ഞെന്ന് അറിയാവോ? മുങ്ങിക്കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ടല്ല, മുങ്ങാൻ തുടങ്ങി എന്ന് മനസ്സിലായോ? ചില മുങ്ങിയാലും വിളിക്കുകയല്ല ആർത്താവിന്. കണത്തിൽ മുങ്ങിയിരിക്കുക, പാപത്തിൽ മുങ്ങിയിരിക്കുക, എന്നാലും വിളിക്കുകയല്ല. ഇങ്ങനെയിരിക്കും. മുങ്ങാൻ തുടങ്ങി എന്ന് മനസ്സിലായപ്പോഴേ പീറ്റർ കാണാൻ വെച്ചാൽ, ലോർഡ് സേവ് മീ. ഓ ഹല്ലേലൂയ. അങ്ങനെ മുങ്ങാൻ തുടങ്ങുമ്പോഴേ വിളിച്ചോണം കേട്ടോ. ഹി വിൽ ഹിയർ യു, ഹി വിൽ ആൻസർ യു. ആമേൻ, ആമേൻ. ദ ലോർഡ് ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി സ്ട്രെച്ച്ഡ് ഔട്ട് ഹിസ് ഹാൻഡ് ആൻഡ് God. Amen. And both of them walked back to the boat. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the. It's amazing. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, in the first trial in the storm on the boat, when the Lord silenced the wind, one of the disciples got up and asked him, who is this man? That he's got authority over the winds and the storm. See, look at the growth of faith. Look at the revelation. Are you with me? The second time in the testing, Peter and Jesus coming back, walking to the water, they said, truly, 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 you are the Son of God. No doubts about it. Truly, Lord, thou art the Son of God. Amen. It's a growth of faith. How many of you understand what I'm saying? It's a growth of faith. This is amazing. You know this lesson, why? See, trials come to everyone. Storms come to everyone. The part that you need to understand is each trial and storm is to develop your faith. Are you with me? It's to develop your faith. Every trial that comes in your life is to develop your faith. And if you forget that, then you are really in a tough situation. See, this was not the only storm they had. Here the Lord is teaching a principle to them. Look with me to the 14th chapter and verse 21. Now those who were eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and... Amen. See, after the Lord asked Peter and John and the disciples to feed the multitudes, 5,000 men fed with bread. Yes? Then the storm came. Yes? Now look to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. However, many of those, the fourth verse, who heard the word believed, and the number of men who came to be saved was about 5,000. And then the storm came. Amen? Did you hear that? Peter and John are getting into real persecution and struggle. But 5,000 people came to the Lord. There was just 5,000 bread. They had grown by faith at that time. They could stand there with the old boldness and say, there is salvation in no other name except in the name of Jesus. Boldly, why? Because they had learned through every trial that had happened to them in life. Now you look at great men of God and you know what the testing that has happened in their life? They've been tested in relationships. They've been tested in blessings that they've received. They've been tested in obedience, in sacrifice. Are you with me? Amen. And each test, they've developed their faith muscles by obeying and acting on the word of God and looking unto Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Amen. That's the word this afternoon. Faith, I don't know what you're going through, that is not tested. Cannot be trusted. Amen. Hallelujah. How many would love the Lord to trust you? Amen. Amen. How many would love to? Blessed be the name of the Lord. All these are test points. Are you with me? Relationships, everything. But get into trouble and get into a storm by obeying the Lord and not by staying out of the will of God. Amen. Then the Lord will see you through. Lord will see you through. The Lord will see you through. Let's close our eyes and pray today.
You like to pray and ask the Lord to help you in whatever storm you're going through, to keep your focus on the Lord, not the distractions of faith. Would you kneel before the presence of the Lord today in worship and in prayer? Humble yourself. If you want to kneel down, you can kneel down. Or if you want to sit, you can sit. Or if you want to stand, you can stand. But make sure that your eye is focused on Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's pray together. That you have taken your eyes off the Lord and looked to situations and things. With your eyes closed in prayer. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul, Lord, longeth for you. Thirst for him as you sing the song in worship, and the touch of God will come upon you. As a journey home, Yes, my Jesus.
You alone are my heart. Desire and my Lord to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than any.
Jesus, you alone.
joyful and triumphant, O coming, O coming to
worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Whisper your worship to the Lord. Let your heart whisper. hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Kripa labichore illam sudichirunde. Daya labichore illam sudichirunde. Hallelujah. Amen, praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.